The Green Bay Packers have until Monday to match the offer sheet by the Oakland Raiders for safety Sean Richardson. We'll discuss whether they will or they won't, but first we have an interview with Packers running back Rajon Neal. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're going to be talking about Sean Richardson in a little bit. But first, to kick off the show this morning, we have a member of the Green Bay Packers joining us. We have running back Rajon Neal. Mr. Neal, how's the offseason been going for you? I assume you've been working out.
The offseason's treated me pretty well. You know, I've been working hard and kind of just staying out of trouble, enjoying home.
Very good. Packers fans, glad to hear you're staying out of trouble. Let's go back to last season and talk a little bit. You signed with the Packers, and you were really starting to build some momentum during training camp. You scored a touchdown in the very first preseason game. Did you think at that point you had everything going in the right direction?
I mean, definitely. I think, you know, once you do something like that on that level in the beginning of training camp and kind of just showing everybody what you're about, I mean, it felt good, and I felt that I was heading in the right direction.
Now, of course, you suffer the knee injury, and it kind of derailed you for the rest of training camp. What did that mentally do to you, kind of knowing you were doing well and then you were sidelined? Was that demoralizing?
It was definitely tough because, I mean, in the situation I was, you know, I wondered, I kept, you know, trying to be as positive as I can and just enjoying the process. But it was definitely definitely a mental strain just trying to keep myself uplifted, always wondering what the next day was going to hold.
What specifically was the injury? I mean, did you end up tearing anything, or was it a partial tear?
I had a partial MCL tear with a slight bone bruise. So it was something that definitely needed more time than anything just to kind of heal and
gotcha.
And just take place.
Now I remember reading in like the immediate aftermath of the injury that you actually thought you would like play the next week. Did it end up being a little bit worse than you thought?
It did. I mean, because it was, you know, after kind of going over the scans and everything, we were kind of optimistic, hoping that maybe in 2 weeks that we could possibly, you know, maybe put a brace on and be able to run and, you know, make a couple cuts. But as we saw, it was a little more severe than what we thought it was.
So you get placed on injured reserve, and you can correct me here if I'm wrong, but I think there's a rule stating you can't sign with the same team that placed you on injured reserve for a certain time period, like 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. Was there conversations with the Packers that were like, we want to bring you back?
Once everything had kind of took place and before I had left and did what I had to do, you know, we had brief conversations before. And, you know, we had kind of already knew what we had planned and how we was hoping things would kind of fall in place. And God willing, man, everything did. And, you know, I'm happy to be back, and I was happy to be brought back at the time I was.
Were there other teams courting you at all? Was there any interest from other teams in the NFL?
Definitely. I had, you know, a workout or so, and, you know, I kept in contact with some other teams, but, you know, we definitely tried to just keep our options open the best we could.
We're talking to Packers running back Rajon Neal here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. So, Rajon, you come back to Green Bay and you go on the practice squad. How was your time spent there where you finished the season? Did you think you were able to learn a lot in that role?
Oh, definitely, definitely, man. I think it was a great learning experience, but I had fun just being able to go out there and practice and just be with the guys. And gave me a great opportunity to kind of just play freely, learn as well, and just kind of see, you know, the routine of what those guys go through week in and week out, just kind of preparing myself for the next year. And if my time was called, I think I would have been ready as well, but it was definitely a great learning experience.
Of course, this offseason, DeJuan Harris leaves in free agency, and I know it's always tough to lose teammates, but do you kind of view that as an opportunity, like you're jumping up the depth chart and there's kind of one less guy providing competition?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, we all know it's a business, and at the end of the day, you know, everybody's hungry to play, and everybody just had that competitive spirit about them. So, you know, I definitely understand what is taking place. And, you know, coming in camp, you know, ready to work and ready to compete.
Now, if I'm correct, you actually played a little wide receiver in college at Tennessee, didn't you?
Yes, sir. That was my sophomore year.
Okay. Do you think you can kind of bring that experience to the Packers in terms of, like, catching passes out of the backfield?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I can run routes in or out of the slot. I mean, anything they need me to do, I can pretty much do. The want to and which I want to play and help this team is probably at extreme high. So anything they ask me to do, I'm going to be more than willing to.
Now the off-season program starts next week. Are you already in Green Bay?
Oh, no. I touched down to Green Bay Friday.
Friday, okay. So it's the first few weeks is kind of strength and conditioning, right?
No, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So are you ready to begin the grind here? I mean, I know it's only April and we're still a few months away from the season, but does this kind of begin the process for a whole long season for you?
It does, and it's exciting. I mean, it's year two. You kind of know what to expect. You kind of got, you know, higher expectations, seeing what is kind of happening off season and where you kind of be in play. So it's nothing but an exciting experience, and I'm ready to come work.
Well, Rajon, we wish you all the best of luck. Really excited to see you get this process underway here next week. And we'll be cheering you.
Oh, man, I appreciate you.
All right. Take care, okay? Packers
all
running
right,
back Rajon Neal joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well. Really cool to have a Packers player join us here. And actually, to tell you the truth, I can't release details yet, but I think we're actually on schedule to have another Packers player later this week. I think we're looking at Friday for that. Working on some things, finalizing some things right now. But exciting time here for Railbird Central. Get these Packers players here as they get ready to come back to Green Bay and begin the off-season workouts next week. But let's talk some Packers news here.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday morning, kind of news coming out over the weekend. The Packers work out Thomas Gibson, a forward on the Kansas State basketball team. This, according to the Wichita Eagle, Gibson is 6'7", 265 pounds, and he's never played organized football in his life. In fact, even his dreams of playing professional basketball are not yet over. He's certainly, you know, basketball's a different sport than football. There's only two rounds in the NBA draft, and there's certainly not as many professional basketball players as there are football players. But playing in the NBA is not out of the question for him. Perhaps playing overseas, a little bit more likely scenario. But regardless, the Packers actually apparently, as the report goes out of the Wichita Eagle, that the Packers actually contacted him, wanted to see him work out, and he couldn't pass up the opportunity despite having no, you know, football experience really whatsoever, apparently not in high school either or anything like that. And They just saw a talented athlete and wanted to give it a try. They put him out through a workout. Don't really know what's come of it. You know, who knows? Maybe they see this guy's way too raw and they think it's probably not worth our time, maybe. Or perhaps they see something there they like to work with. And, you know, I'm sure the Packers themselves aren't publicizing their thoughts on him. They probably wait till after the NFL draft here to kind of come to a decision on that. But, you know, when this news broke on, I believe it was Saturday morning, I myself took to Twitter and said, you know, it seems like every year the Packers work out a basketball prospect and rarely anything ever comes from it. And this just kind of came off the top of my head. But, you know, in preparation for the show, what I did is went back and looked at some of the basketball players the Packers have worked out over the years, kind of during this time period, the NFL draft, you know, in the run-up to the NFL draft. And you'll remember last year, it was Kansas forward Tariq Black that the Packers apparently had somewhat of an interest in. And again, as you might remember, the attention was actually sparked by quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who had gone to a Kansas basketball game just kind of as a fan in the offseason. Of course, you know, big time program there at the University of Kansas, one of the best basketball schools in the nation, and just kind of, you know, struck up a friendship a little bit, talked to Black, and you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of thought, wow, here's a guy who's big, athletic, and could maybe be, you know, in the next mold of tight end. There's so many tight ends in the NFL that started out playing basketball, like Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez, and they're not the only ones. But what happens is, you know, the Packers, or at least Rodgers, talk to Black, but he ends up going to the NBA. I believe he actually ended his season with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think he bounced around the league a little bit as a rookie, but, you know, good for him. I mean, he was a basketball player first and foremost. But so that happened last year. You remember, it was 1 year ago at this time. This was getting kind of all sorts of attention because it was Aaron Rodgers who had talked to him and kind of put it in his ear like, hey, you could be a tight end in the NFL, or thought maybe he had a chance to. But then the year before, the kind of a local angle that goes to this, former Packers front office executive John Dorsey took a liking to former UW Milwaukee basketball player Demetrius Harris. And here again, another kind of, you know, guy who really didn't have a future in the NBA, maybe could have had one overseas or things like that. A lot of, you know, guys who don't make it in the NBA do go on to, you know, have very, you know, that they can actually have quite lucrative careers in Europe and things like that. But, I don't know how much interest the Packers had, because it was more about John Dorsey, the former Packers front office guy who, you know, now general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. And lo and behold, Demetrius Harris still is in the NFL, kind of living out this scenario that was, you know, kind of started 2 years ago. I mean, apparently he kind of found him while still working for the Packers. But now John Dorsey signed Harris, and he's still there and still kind of being developed as a tight end there in the Kansas City Chiefs system. So kind of cool story there. And then I remember looking back in 2007, another local angle here. You might remember the Packers actually brought a former UW lacrosse basketball player to training camp. His name was Joe Werner. And he actually was one of the few that went beyond just simple interest to actually sign a contract with the Packers. They brought him to training camp, didn't make the team, you know, never really, nothing ever came of it long term. Like, he was never with the Packers during the regular season or anything like that. But they actually saw enough of him to sign him to a contract, and he came in and gave it a shot for a while. So, yeah, there's kind of this history of the Packers taking interest in these basketball players. So that was kind of the big news over the weekend. Of course, not a lot of news at, you know, this time of year in the April time period in the world of the Packers. Free agency more or less has really died down as of now. Still kind of waiting on, you know, maybe some signings coming forward here. Maybe John Kuhn, maybe Jarrett Bush. But that does, however, bring us to our next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Monday, something that's going to transpire here over the course of the next 24 hours, the Packers have until the end of league business on Monday to match the offer by the Oakland Raiders for safety Sean Richardson. And we talked about this a lot in depth last week here at Railbird Central, but just a brief overview. In my opinion, the Packers should match the offer. And what I think is 1 year, $2.55 million, something in that range. By offering him a tender, the Packers already committed to paying him $1.5 million. So it's not as if they don't value him whatsoever. Yeah, they're paying about $1 million more than they expected if they were to match the offer. But, you know, sometimes that's just the cost of doing business in the NFL. Not every single thing is going to work out exactly to your liking. So they have the salary cap space to do it. And I'll say this, don't undervalue the importance of special teams. Now, as evidenced by the firing of Sean Slocum this offseason, the Packers' special teams was already bad last season. And if they lose Richardson, it's only going to get worse before it gets better. He was one of the few bright spots on that unit this last season. And I know sometimes that's hard to see because he was one of the guys playing the coverage units. And those aren't exactly, you know, that's the dirty work of the NFL. Those people are not recognized. The Packers already got rid of some of the dead weight on special teams from last season. Players like Brandon Bostic and DeJuan Harris, who really weren't all that good on special teams anyway. But Richardson wasn't in that category. He was good. He led the team in Packers special teams tackles. Now, if you want the Packers special teams to be good, don't view this as overspending to keep Richardson. It probably is closer to fair market value. And once again here as well, by matching the offer, the Packers also retain Richardson's rights for another season. So in essence, if this was 2016, they could be getting a compensatory draft pick if he were to sign with the Raiders. And that alone has value. There's the possibility that Richardson can raise his stock even more if he's, you know, 1 year removed from injury. I just think he's on the upward trend right now. Sean Richardson, he lost, what was it, the 2013 season due to injury. And, you know, he's come back since that time and has really done well for himself. And I think there's the possibility that he's only going to get better. He showed it last year by really doing well on special teams. And again, carving out a small role on the defense And I think there's an opportunity for an increased role for Sean Richardson, not only safety, but perhaps some sort of dime linebacker role. And like I said, we kind of talked about this on a previous episode. We'll see. I mean, that role may be addressed perhaps in the NFL draft if they go out and grab a first round linebacker who's really is a three down player and can stay on the field. But if nothing else, Sean Richardson provides depth at the safety position, a position they may have to address should he leave. I mean, all of a sudden, if Richardson is gone, you know, the Packers already kind of thin at cornerback. Now they lose another guy at safety, and you know, that'll be a little bit tough. Not to say the cupboard is bare. I mean, they've got Clynn Dix and Morgan Burnett, their starters. They've still got Micah Hyde. But, I mean, you're just losing another guy after already losing Devon House, Tremont Williams. Just the secondary could be taking a little bit of a hit there. So, you know, there's a lot to like here about Sean Richardson. I think they should match it. I think they will match it. Not to say I've never been wrong before. We'll see later today whether or not that actually happens. I see on the live, I'm just kind of scrolling through the chat here on the live blog is during the live edition of the show. Ryan Spiewak on the live blog says, no banjo love. My apologies, Chris Banjo as well. Chris Banjo is providing some depth there. But again, you know, the larger picture, Sean Richardson, you know, losing him only contributes to the lack of depth at the cornerback position anyway. But kind of continuing on here with the analysis here of Sean Richardson and what's happening with the Green Bay Packers and far as what's coming ahead. Later this week, on Tuesday, is the start of the annual Packers tailgate tour. So their kind of annual goodwill tour around the state of Wisconsin, sometimes including the upper peninsula of Michigan and surrounding states. I don't think this year they're going outside the borders of the state of Wisconsin, but regardless, the Packers doing their annual goodwill tour here, and that's always an exciting thing. I think it's really cool, especially, you know, you have to imagine the season ticket holder base for the Green Bay Packers has to be heavily centered around Green Bay and Milwaukee and kind of that corridor, including the Fox Valley. You know, you got to think that's where a lot of the season ticket holders come from. And so they're able to see the team on quite a frequent basis, especially during the season, and interact with the team if they so choose, come to training camp, things like that. But I think it's really cool where the Packers kind of get out of their comfort zone, so to speak, and go to other areas of the state. The northern section of the state, the western section of the state. And I forget all the places they're precisely going this year, but I think Menominee, Wisconsin is one of them. You know, way out west, kind of in the Eau Claire area, things like that, to get out and reach out to those kind of people. So I really think that's cool. And you know, the tailgate tour has kind of only grown over the years. In that they have, you know, current players come along for the ride in terms of who's going this year. Off the top of my head, tight end Andrew Corliss and I believe cornerbacks Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde. I think those are the people actually going along this year. So that's really cool that they're doing that. And they've included to join NFL alumni coming along. I remember last year, NFL Hall of Famer James Lofton, you know, went along on the tailgate tour. I think Jerry Kramer is going on it this year. So, you know, to and Packers president Mark Murphy, of course, he's kind of the ringleader of the whole thing. But just a really, really cool event that I think the Packers offer, and that they're doing that for the fans, basically. What the Packers doing here with the tailgate tour and this kind of, you know, reaching out to the fans, I think it was good to see as well the Packers having a draft party once again, something they haven't had in several years. I'm just going to pause here for a second. I see the broadcast has maybe stopped for some people during the live edition. Just going to pause here briefly and kind of restart for 1 second. Welcome back to Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central here on a Friday morning. After some technical difficulties, I think we are actually back on air. Not sure what happened for those people listening to the live edition of the show. It appeared to cut out for a second, but we're back and talking some Packers football. We were in the midst of talking about how the Packers organization actually reaches out to fans. The tailgate tour starts on Tuesday, and then the Packers later this month bringing back the draft party, something that's kind of been in mothballs for a couple years, and it's coming back, and it's actually going to Milwaukee this year. And I think this was really cool to see, something that I think fans have been clamoring for ever since the large-scale draft parties
for a
kind of
years
went away in
coming back.
Green Bay.
And, it's
and now I'm getting some feedback
Milwaukee
here. Let's
year.
See
and
if
I
can
this
stop this.
Really cool
here we go.
But,
you know, the Packers used to have the draft party in Green Bay every year. And those things kind of went away for a few years. They still held kind of pseudo draft parties inside Curly's Pub, inside the Lambeau Field atrium, but they were really small in scale, and it was really nothing more or hardly more than just, you know, day-to-day operations that they, you know, that Curly's Pub is open every day of the year, or at least it was before renovations here at Lambeau Field. But to bring this back, and it's just happening on the third day of the draft, but I think that's good. You know, it's a Saturday. People aren't working for the most part, and they'll have an opportunity to follow along. And I think they're actually announcing draft picks on site. So a lot of cool things happening there, especially with the NFL draft happening nearby this year. But just, you know, kudos to the Packers organization for doing these kind of things, the tailgate tour, the NFL draft party. It's a way for Packers fans to get engaged and involved, and I really think it's fun, and hope people take advantage of that. But hopefully your morning wasn't ruined here by any sort of technical difficulties we have on the show, because that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in, for listening here on a Monday morning. Glad to have Packers running back Rajon Neal join us on the show. In addition to him, we'll be joined by another Packers player later this week. Stay tuned. I'm hoping it's going to happen on Friday. We'll see you then. Railbird Central, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, podcasted later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Sci Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go, Pack, go.